You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
You're listening to Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is Dino from A What Podcast. I'm here with my wife Michelle. And this is Podcast. We're kind of keeping with the whole question theme. Just first thing, this is not replacing A What. Andrew and I are still recording episodes and doing all that good stuff. We're going to bring you some good content. This is kind of a sister podcast of that one. This is dealing with Michelle and I and our family. About us being, Christians, horror lovers, parents, friends. So this is what we're doing. Just a little bit, about me. I grew up in New York. Moved to Florida when my mother passed away. And ultimately met Michelle. And we got married and had kids and moved around a lot. And we are where we are now. I'll let Michelle tell her side of the story. That way you don't hear it twice.
Well, I was actually from New York originally, too. And I moved down to Florida when I was 11 years old when my parents moved down there. Was there just living until I met Dino. And I think I fell in love right away. Maybe we'll get into that story sometime. But, as he said, we moved around a lot. Some of that was caused by being told that we would never be parents. But here we are almost 11 years later and have three children.
Okay, we are going to get into a little bit more of our backstory because, well, I'll tell you in a minute. When I moved to Florida, it was after my mom passed away. I was in depression. I moved to a town called Cape Coral, met this kid named Tom that was a few years younger than me at the Walmart deli where I had applied for a job. We became great friends and just started hanging out. And he one day asked me to go to church with him. And I said, church? I don't need church. I'm doing fine by myself, whatever. But kind of came to the end of myself and decided one day to go to church with him and ended up becoming a Christian and finding out, really about who Jesus was and everything else. Not to get preachy with that. This is not what this is about. But a few months later.
That was in May and we met July 1st.
Right. That was May 19th. The day that The Phantom Menace premiered in theaters, and I met Michelle on July 1st, we realized real quickly that we were going to be married.
Well, can I go into a little bit?
A little bit into how
we met?
Oh, yeah.
As Dino said, he was working in the Walmart deli, and my mom had taken me, we had gone to Walmart together. It was, for me, one of the lowest days in my life. I had finally conceded to go and see a therapist, which I thought that I would never agree to doing. So we were there and we decided to get something from the deli for dinner. And I happened to see this cute guy behind the counter. And I said some really lame joke that they had just gotten this new meat product that contained no MSG. So they had that nice little no MSG symbol. And a lame joke was that I've never been allowed in a Chinese restaurant. Now I'm not allowed in the Walmart deli, and I don't even know why. That's because my initials were MSG.
Still are.
But.
So I looked at you like you had three heads.
Yeah.
And yeah. Monkeys growing out of your ears.
Until then I said, well, I'm sorry. It's just a family joke. My initials are MSG. I said, but I'm also from New York, so I would get Madison Square Garden. And that I liked
Oh, and you said Michael Schenker Group.
Yeah, Michael Schenker Group. And
oh, yeah. That's country living right there, folks. We got a freight train running through our front yard.
We don't have any picture on our wall that stands upright. They're all tilt. Right. But anyway, he kind of laughed at that joke, and I got what I needed. I walked away, and I said to my mom, I said, well, you know, there's this cute guy behind the counter. Wonder if I should give him my number. And instead of saying yes or no or even looking at me like I was weird, she handed me the pen and piece of paper. So I walked over, and I called him out from behind the counter, and here we are today.
Yeah. So, so we started hanging out shortly thereafter.
I think we were only together 2 weeks before we decided we were going to get married.
Right, yeah. We had our wedding rings picked out, but yet we still waited 11 months after that.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half
before you proposed. Right, it was a year and a half proposed. I don't know. I guess I was one of those people that, you know, when I'm financially ready, we'll get married.
Well, no, I think it was we were both new Christians, and we wanted to build our relationship with Christ first, build a friendship with each other, get to know each other.
Right.
And we did that, and that's why it took, you know, a year and a half before you proposed, and then we were engaged 13 months
before getting married. Yeah, so it wasn't a whirlwind romance. But it was definitely fun.
Say, but it paid off. We knew each other well enough that when we went and got our counseling that the church wanted us to have prior to marriage, the counselors actually wanted to know if we took the test to get the test that they did. They wanted to know if we took it together, because out of 9 different sections, we matched perfectly on 7 of them. And yeah. They said they've never gotten anybody that scored that high before.
Yeah, they said, you know, you're supposed to have these people sitting at different rooms when they take these tests again, and we were.
And it was just because we talked to each other.
Yeah.
We talked and we knew. Yeah. I mean, we talked about everything.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, we had a lot in common. We're both musicians. I play guitar and bass. Michelle played drums, percussion. Both love horror movies, heavy metal music. So after a while, we were, you know, like I said, we were told that we couldn't have kids. So then we moved from Florida to Tennessee because we figured we wanted to go somewhere fun.
That, talk about a whirlwind. That was a whirlwind. We made the decision and 3 weeks later we were there.
Yeah. So we went there, had fun doing that. Went out every weekend to rockabilly bars and all that. Played copious amounts of Bar League. Texas Hold'em, and then got pregnant. Well, Michelle got pregnant. I assisted,
yes.
And and we had our son, Killian, which was great because they had to induce the pregnancy, right?
Induced labor.
Not right. I induced the pregnancy. They induced the labor, but they said, what was it, Wednesday, yeah.
It was a Wednesday.
And they said, oh, you know, guys, you know, listen, the baby was supposed to be due in like the middle of November?
November 12th,
but they thought he was growing big, right?
Well, they thought he was growing big, and I also had gestational diabetes, so they, at that point in time, they always delivered the baby 2 weeks early at 38 weeks.
Right.
Just to make sure that everything stayed right. Fine.
And they went to us and said, listen, we normally induce on Wednesdays. However, this Wednesday, 2 weeks before, is Halloween.
And they knew we were Christians.
And they knew we were Christians. And there's a hang-up. There certainly is in a lot of places. Is that okay? Or you want us to push it? We said, a Halloween baby? Hell yeah, let's do it.
I looked at the doctor and I said, don't you remember that I asked for a Halloween baby?
Yeah.
I told her, I said, if there's any way, I want a Halloween baby.
So, yeah, so we had our son, Killian.
Oh, almost didn't.
Oh, no. He was pushing it. Yeah.
Got to be like 10 o'clock at night, and they said to me, they said, look, you might have, they had this thing called
Thursday child?
First baby Thursday or something like that. Yeah. And they got this whole big special package, and they said, well, you might have the first baby Thursday. I said, no, I'm having my Halloween baby.
Yeah.
I pushed him out 20 minutes later.
Yeah, we've got years of great, you know, birthday parties to do. We've got them all planned. So that's what we did. And we had our boy. And red hair. I mean, he's a ginger nut pumpkin head, you know.
Yeah.
So then we moved back to Florida after that. And then had our first daughter.
Yep.
And then we moved to South Carolina after that. Michelle got pregnant and we had our other daughter. So my rule is we are not moving anymore because evidently that is a common denominator. So
I do wonder though, is it interstate or like can we move within a state or is it just we can't?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of afraid to figure that. Test that water.
Now the works have been shut. The factory's shut.
Yeah,
down.
Factory is shut. But so yeah, that's it. I mean, we've got three great kids. All have their own fantastic personalities, mm-hmm. And all are, well, two of them are really bending toward being a horror fan. You know, our oldest is gonna be 11, and
he is all about zombies.
He is everything zombie. Books, video games. I mean, from a little kid, he wanted to know if a zombie touched you, did you turn? You know, our littlest is sick. She's going to be sick
in October.
And she is all Five Nights at Freddy's.
So, yes, we have two October babies.
Like October is their month, you know. And then our middle child is just this precious little angel who wants to be friends with everybody. That's that. So, like with the faith thing, you know, we were talking about that. You know, we both, sir, I was a Sunday school teacher for high school kids because no one else wanted them. You know, oh, the kids are weird. They got black fingernails and nose rings. And I was like, hey, bring them over, man. Let me hang out with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both in youth ministry.
Thrown into youth ministry.
Yeah, we did.
We literally got thrown in.
Yeah. But it was a very, especially in Florida, not as much in Tennessee, but in Florida, they were very conservative as far as what you did. I mean, legalistic is really the word. I say conservative, I'm being nice. Great people on the most part, but there was a time where we actually had to sign an agreement that we wouldn't listen to secular music or watch any rated R movies.
Mm-hmm.
And which was ironic because The Passion of the Christ was coming out and that was rated R.
They made an exception for that one.
Oh, of course, naturally. But I'm like, you know, I listen to like 50s music. You know, I listen to like Elvis and Buddy Holly and stuff like that. That's secular. I can't listen to that. That's my chair creaking. But evidently, you know, we have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And so, no, you know. I mean, it gets so bad that not our church, but I know of other churches that don't want their congregants or especially their pastors to even go see a movie in a theater, lest they walk out and someone thinks they're going to a rated R film. So, yeah, you couldn't go see VeggieTales because freaking, you know, Final Destination was playing, you know? It's a little damn ridiculous, to be honest.
Well, then there's the other end of the spectrum where you're going and sitting in a movie theater where you just had church.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go in after church, and the movie that you go to see is Team America, World Police.
Yeah, that was a little misstep.
Yeah. That was interesting, especially when we looked up and saw some of our youth sitting up at the top of the theater.
Yeah.
And we just kind of looked at each other and nodded.
We nodded and
walked out.
Yeah. Next Sunday, it came up. Yeah, the movie was kind of bad. I'm like, yeah, it kind of was.
So there's got to be that happy medium.
Yeah, you've got to, you know.
You don't want to be in that situation again. Yeah, that was not.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, you've got to, you know, whatever with that. The reason why I bring that up is I put on Twitter about if anyone had any questions for us. Because Twitter page has some really great people that I interact with, and our buddy Pedro had a question.
Okay.
And let me see if I can find it. He's also part of our Facebook group, a podcast Facebook group, and he had asked, there it is. Do you think that your spirituality causes films about Satan and demonic forces to have a bigger impact on you than they would for a non-believer? I mean, if you want me to start on this.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll add in.
I grew up non-practicing Catholic. Christmas and Easter, Catholic. And films, I always like to be able to, what I call, take a film home with me, especially a horror movie. Like, if I go and see Anaconda, I know there's not an anaconda that's going to be skirting through my backyard. Yeah.
Never be too sure.
Well, New York, it could. Florida, it could. Quite possibly. But
I used to think that the red on my walls could turn into the blob.
That's true.
So, there's that.
Yeah, and Alligator took place in Chicago, so anything can happen.
But, go ahead.
But,
I'm sorry.
so things like home invasion movies, slashers, stuff like that, I tend to gravitate toward because when I got home, I was scared. So haunted house ghost movies scared me a bit because I believed in that and stuff. But something like The Exorcist, I liked it. I thought it was really good, but it didn't scare me. It wasn't until he got saved and started going to church where that kind of flipped for me. Movies about ghosts and stuff didn't frighten me. I didn't like them. 13 Ghosts and all that. I think they're great movies. But they didn't scare me. However, we had went to The Exorcist when it came out again. And it took your brother. Damn it, that movie scared me. Because the realization of, you know, Satan and stuff like that was, you know, hit me a little harder. Now, I'm speaking for me. I'm not speaking for all, you know, Christians. And I'm certainly not speaking for non-Christians because I don't know. But I could talk about me from when I wasn't a Christian to now and contrast that. So, like a movie like Paranormal Activity, at first when I saw it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be dumb. You know, oh, ghost, whatever. And half the movie I'm going through thinking it's a ghost, and the movie didn't frighten me. Then when I realized that they were actually talking about a demon and not a ghost, I started feeling it more. So that's when it really got me. Exorcism of Emily Rose, those type of things, that'll scare me more than, you know, a standard haunted house or ghost movie.
Yeah, now I don't know if I was as big on those types of horror movies before we met. So I don't know if I really have anything to compare beforehand to. And I think my views may have changed from then until now. I can't honestly remember my full reaction or how they made me feel then. But now, as the way that I view it as a Christian, they don't scare me.
Right.
Because I'm a Christian.
Okay. Right.
I know that those, you know, so you, that those powers might be out there.
So you feel the reality of it, but you also feel the reality of being protected from it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So I'm able to separate and not take those things home.
Okay.
I'm not saying that they don't scare me in the moment, because mm-hmm. it is scary to think about.
Right.
But I can detach from it quickly and just say,
right.
Wow, okay.
Right.
Well, you know, I've got Jesus, so.
Right. Okay. See, yeah, see, haunted doll movies or you know, evil doll movies will scare me forever just because they're evil dolls.
And now you have two daughters.
And
have
even dolls now.
All over the house.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Daddy, brush my doll's hair. No! She's winking at me!
Or they bring home Dora the Explorer that they get used and the eyeballs are half wiped out.
Oh, one's half wiped. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness. The creepiness that my. And they have this thing where, of course, they, you know, every doll's gonna be undressed. So that's freaky. And then there was a one time when they put the doll in the console of the car. We had a van at the time. So I open up the console and go grab a CD or something. Yes, I still do CDs. I'm old school like that. And there's a Barbie doll, a Tinkerbell Barbie doll, in the console, jammed in there, with her head twisted 3/4 of the way to the left. And I open up and I near crap my pants. I mean, it was the freakiest thing. I think I have a picture of it still somewhere on my phone. If I find it, I will put it on Twitter. Because it's a little freaky. A lot freaky. but, yeah.
But Titi, she's the one that loves to bring those dolls to you.
Yeah.
I mean, she had a... We went to...
That's our youngest.
We went to... Was it last year's? Not last year's Comic-Con. Was it Comic-Con in the spring?
Yeah.
We went, and she
SC Comic-Con, yeah.
Yeah, and she actually played a broken baby doll.
Yes.
And she played it wonderfully. She did a great job with that. But she being a fan of Five Nights at Freddy's, she loves anything animatronic.
Yeah.
So she, when things come to life and dolls like that, she will put the video on, walk around the corner, and watch it. She'll make sure her body is behind the corner, and only her, just the top part of her face is out, so she can see around the corner to watch the jump scare. Yeah. she just loves that.
Yeah. I mean, and, yeah, well, what the heart of this podcast is.
Did I say we weren't going to go off on any tangents?
Oh, I,
down any rabbit holes?
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, it's all, we all tie it in. Basically, we had wanted to start a podcast a while ago about Christianity and how to be a Christian to the world without being an a-hole to people. I mean, that's pretty much it. I'm trying to keep it a little family-friendly so that a lot of people can hear this. Because there's just... I'm not here to raise the nation. I'm not. I'm not here to raise the nation. I'm not here to legislate morality. I am here to show people love. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care who you are. Black, white, green, purple, indigo, violet, whatever. I don't care if you're gay, straight, transgender. That is not my job. It is way beyond my pay grade. My job is to love you. As long as you're not hurting people, you know, your life is your life. You're accountable for it. I'm not. It's none of my business. So why don't we get along?
Jesus told us the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor.
That's it.
And he never defined neighbor.
Right.
Neighbor is everyone.
Yeah.
Your neighbor is the person who lives right next door,
yeah,
or the person who lives 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
That's your neighbor. Everybody that you are to come in contact with, you are to show love. This might be another one of those rabbit holes, but I was talking with somebody the other day that basically said that you have to earn respect, and that respect is only earned. And I don't agree with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to, as humans, we need to get back to giving respect
mm-hmm.
immediately.
Right.
That what respect is showing somebody kindness.
Right.
You're being respectful.
Right.
You need to show people kindness. And sometimes it's not always going to turn out okay. Mm-hmm. But you give respect until somebody gives you a reason not to respect them.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to respect somebody, at least be civil to them. I mean,
now we could go so far into this.
Yeah.
We wanted to show how you could be a Christian, how you could serve Christ,
mm-hmm.
show his love to others, but yet look like...
Hang out with people. Mm-hmm. Go to a Halloween party. Have a beer with somebody. Whoa. You know, I mean...
It's all about reaching people. You can't reach people
mm-hmm.
unless you're willing to reach out to them.
Right.
You've got to go to where, meet them where they are.
Right.
You have to be firm in where you are and in your standing in Christ, but you've got to be able to reach them and reach out to them.
Right. Exactly.
And they've got to find you relatable. If they don't find you relatable, they will never find Jesus relatable.
Right. Exactly. I mean, so really, yeah, that is the heart of what we're doing. Like I said, yeah, we will do some episodes that are faith-based or doctrine-based. We're not going to shy away from that. But we're not going to be preachy at you. There's going to be episodes where we talk just about movies.
Mm-hmm.
If God comes up in a conversation, because God comes up in our conversations,
mm-hmm.
we're not pushing at you. First of all, we're movie fans, we're TV fans, we're music fans, we like entertainment. And we like to talk about it with each other, and we like to talk about it with other people. And like to tell you about things that we've seen, and like to hear about things that you've seen and discover new things, whether it be horror, comedies, or whatever. Cool TV shows, you know, whatever. I mean, Terrifier's popping up on Netflix September 1st. Yeah, I'm watching it. I know what I'm getting myself into, but that's it. I mean, a movie like Frailty. One of my favorite movies ever. Was actually the first movie I watched once the rated R movie ban got lifted from us. Went in there not knowing what the heck that movie was. And dang, that movie blew me away. And guess what? We're introducing our kids to the horror genre. Killian has watched the first 4 Friday the 13ths with me. And then part 6. I didn't let him watch 5. Obvious reasons. It's basically a porn with blood. So, yeah, I'm not really...
We do have boundaries.
We do have boundaries. And that's the way I grew up, honestly. You know, my mom always said, you know, cursing, whatever I say it. Blood and gore, go ahead. But, you know, mm-hmm. she was a stickler about the nudity. You can fake all that blood, and he knows it's fake. And mm-hmm. we watched the shows on Sci-Fi about... You know, the makeup and all this. And with the girls, too, we show them that. Listen, all this is fake. You know, that monster mm-hmm. is really this guy, you know. So we're showing them, you know, the artistry
yeah.
of what this is. Hey, this is real. My daughter, Nika, she suffers from night terrors. And
they can be very
intense. Yeah. And when it first started, it freaked us out. Because it started off small. She came out one day, and she said, I kid you not, my bed won't stop shaking. Now, let that sit in there for a second. Because I'm sure some of you realize right away, who else said, my bed won't stop shaking? Yes, Reagan from The Exorcist. So I'm like, oh, crap. I ran. I grabbed my anointing oil. I prayed, you know, over the walls and... You know, praying in tongues, you know. And then a little while later, she would wake up in the middle of the night, prop right up, wide-eyed, screaming. And there was nothing we can do to calm her down.
We didn't know what it was.
We didn't know what it was. we're like, what? And then she's saying, there's cracking. What's cracking? Everything is cracking. Your face is cracking. The walls are cracking. Everything is cracking. And we had no clue. And then Michelle Webendy over here goes on and starts, you know, what do these mean? And figured out it was night terrors. And now, even to this day, she has them, but she controls them.
She knows what to do. She'll actually, if she feels one coming on, mm-hmm. she'll actually come out of the bedroom and say, I feel a night terror coming. And she knows for her, a lot of it has to do, it's different for every child that yeah. has it. But for her, it's if she's been out in the sun a lot and yeah, her body and her body's overheated, or if she's maybe coming down with a cold and she's even just the slightest of fevers can start a mm-hmm. night terror for her. And she's found out what calms that for her is an ice pack. Mm-hmm. And we actually found it. It's for adults and it was made for migraines, but it's a like an eye mask.
Sleep mask.
Yeah, like an eye sleep mask, but it's one that you freeze. Mm-hmm. And she found out for her that actually helps. So she'll come out, she'll walk herself to the freezer, she'll get the eye mask and she'll bring it back into her room, and that's how she'll be able to fall asleep without going into a full-blown night terror. And I just think that it's amazing mm-hmm. that at 7 years old,
yeah,
she knows what to do.
Yep. And she knows, like, caffeine will trigger it also.
Yeah, caffeine will
also
trigger.
A lot of cartoons with, like, the newer cartoons, things like SpongeBob. Well, not SpongeBob's new, but, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the ones with very fast edits is a sensory overload mm-hmm. on the brain. So, like, The Incredibles, Incredible 2, when they had the strobe flashing and all that. You know, she knew it was coming, so she would turn her head and just put her head there mm-hmm. until it was over, and then she'd look back up. Wow, we went on a tangent there. But, you know, so why was I going into that?
Well, we were just talking about, you know, introducing our children to things, and I right. think we were going down that because where we can introduce Killian maybe to a little bit more,
right.
One, because of his age.
Yeah.
But the two girls, you know, we can actually introduce a little bit more to our younger child than we can to her.
Right.
Because of the night terrors.
Right.
And I think that's where that came in.
Yeah. What was great, though, is when we took them to go see The Dark Crystal mm-hmm. over at the movie theater, you know,
Fathom Events.
Had the Dark Crystal plant. So, I mean, I saw that movie in the theater when it first came out.
It's one of my absolute favorites.
So we took the kids to go see it. And right before, they had a brief, like, 10-minute behind-the-scenes of it where it showed the puppetry and all that. And because if you're not prepared, Verdi, it's a creepy film. And so during the movie, when the puppets were getting... The Skeksis were coming, and Chamberlain and all that, you know. Nico would start getting scared and then stop and go, they're only puppets. They're only puppets. They're only puppets. Mm-hmm. And remembered, you know, what they were. So, you know, I think we're not doing them a disservice by showing this stuff. If they didn't want to watch it, mm-hmm. we certainly wouldn't pull a Clockwork Orange on them and, you know, make them watch it. And I don't do that. Like, my son, he doesn't like when people morph. Like, werewolf changes and stuff like that.
I mean, even something as simple as that one Phineas and Ferb episode.
The cartoon where the mayor turned into a wolf.
He can't watch that part.
The Incredible Hulk. He doesn't mind the Hulk. Doesn't mind Bruce Banner. Does not like when Bruce Banner changes into the Hulk. That 10 seconds for him is hell. So he will turn his eyes and then that's it.
Which is funny, though. He wants to keep the book series of the Animorphs.
Yeah. So, well, why do I watch every damn Haunted Doll movie there is?
Sure.
Even the really bad ones. Because it's something at 44 years old, I'm still getting through. So, that is that. That is, in a nutshell, what this podcast is.
Every episode will hold its own.
Yeah, will hold its own weight. Once again, if you have any questions, DM me at a what? 3 A's on Twitter. At a what podcast, the Facebook group, you can email me at awhatpodcast@gmail.com. And I want to thank the Farsight Network for hosting us.
Absolutely.
They have a great episode coming out soon.
I wonder who's on it.
There's a real cool guy on it. Talking about two really cool movies. So we have, that's on Grindhouse Messiah. On the Grindhouse Messiah Show on the Farsighted Network. Blaine and Justin, thank you very much. Pedro James at BMish17. Follow him, he's a really good guy. Dismay at Dismay00. Want to thank her. Gabriella, want to thank her as well. Drunk in the Graveyard Podcast, did I say that?
No.
Okay, Drunk in the Graveyard Podcast. Gabriella, you can reach at @noir_or_never. Give her a follow. She wrote a really, really good article about Friday the 13th and quoted us a what in our episode 2 about the Friday the 13th franchise. Until next time, God bless. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.